From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Columbus Day edition, a special edition of Washington Watch. This past weekend was the Values Voter Summit, the 2019 Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C., and it was an outstanding weekend. A great lineup of speakers, a lot of information, a lot of encouragement and excitement. And if you missed it, you can still go back and watch it. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over to the Values Voter Summit site. And all of the speakers are archived. So you, even though you missed it, you really didn't. You can go back and watch all of it. And some exciting speakers, Secretary of Health and Human Services Alex Azar was with us. We had Dana Lash was there. We had Dennis Prager. Mark Meadows, a congressman from North Carolina, Louie Gohmert, our great friend from Texas, Dr. Roger Marshall, congressman from Kansas. And Saturday night really capped it all off because it was the night that we honored Dr. Andrew Brunson. And it just so happened, as I talked about last week, that Saturday night, October the 12th, was the one-year anniversary in which Dr. Brunson, on trial in Turkey, was released from prison, and I had the privilege of escorting him home. And to top all of that off, as we recognized him with our Cost of Discipleship Award, we were joined by President Donald Trump. And so what I thought I would share with you today is the message that President Trump brought to the values voter this past Saturday night, talking about those core values that are so important to America and obviously to the values voters. And so I'm going to share this with you. You can, if you miss any of it on your way home this afternoon, again, you can catch all of it archived at TonyPerkins.com. But here, we began the night with the president in a special way. I asked Andrew Brunson to join me on the stage as I introduced the president, and then we had an opportunity to pray for him.
Father God, I ask now for an impartation of your Holy Spirit. May the fullness of the Spirit of Jesus rest upon President Trump, that he be anointed with wisdom and understanding, with your counsel and might, with knowledge and fear of the Lord. And accordingly, may President Trump not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, or lean on his own understanding, but may he recognize your prompting and move according to your guidance. Amen. I ask that you give the president supernatural discernment to know who is trustworthy and who is not. Bring into the light all deception and intrigue. Expose and reverse the plans of those who would harm President Trump and this nation. In the name of Jesus, I break off all voices and influence that do not come from you, Father God. May your truth and peace surround and reign in the White House. God, you have raised up President Trump to govern at a time when there is a resurgence of oppression. Only you, Lord Jesus Christ, can anoint him to have victories over strongholds and to establish justice for the needy. Give him strength and courage to persevere in the constant battle that surrounds him and refresh him. Father God, I see that you have such a tender heart for President Trump. Draw him close to you. I ask now for an impartation of hunger for you so that he may love you with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength and delight in knowing you. And if he came in whispering your name, may he go forward shouting your name. In Jesus' name, in the name of my King, I bless you.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's a great honor to be here. Tony, Pastor Brunson, who I've gotten to know very well. That was not easy. But we got him out, got him back to his family. And I want to thank you for that beautiful prayer. It means a lot. This evening, I'm deeply honored to be back with so many pastors and leaders and friends and patriots at the 2019 Values Voter Summit. You are the warriors on the frontiers defending American freedom. We meet tonight at a crucial moment in our nation's history. Our shared values are under assault like never before. Extreme left-wing radicals, both inside and outside government, are determined to shred our Constitution and eradicate the beliefs we all cherish. Far-left socialists are trying to tear down the traditions and customs that made America the greatest nation on earth. They reject the principles of our founding fathers, principles enshrined into the Declaration of Independence, which proclaims that our rights come from our Creator. But despite the delusions of the radical left, all of us here today know that our rights come from God Almighty, and they can never be taken away. Together, we will protect those God-given rights for our children, our children's children, and generations of Americans to come. On every front, the ultra-left is waging war on the values shared by everyone in this room. They are trying to silence and punish the speech of Christians and religious believers of all faiths. You know it better than anyone. They are trying to use the courts to rewrite the laws, undermine democracy, and force through an agenda they can't pass at the ballot box. They just can't seem to do it, can they? They are trying to hound you from the workplace, expel you from the public square, and weaken the American family, and indoctrinate our children. They resent and disdain faithful Americans who hold fast to our nation's historic values, and if given the chance, they would use every instrument of government power, including the IRS, to try to shut you down. They are using the IRS against me. Generations of Americans before us did not work. They fight. They sacrifice. They do so much. But we will never, ever, no matter what happens, surrender our liberty. The word liberty is so important to the radical left. Together, we will stand up to the socialists, and we will win massive victories for family, for faith, and for freedom, just like the victory we had in 2016. With every bit of heart and soul, we will defend our country, the most just and virtuous republic in the history of the earth. And yet, I say that, and those words are beautiful. But it's starting to change, and we're going to stop that start. The hateful spirit that consumes the modern left violates every tenet of the American tradition. The radical left tolerates no dissent. It permits no opposition. It accepts no compromise. And look, we have all seen it. We see what's going on. There is no compromise. Frankly, these people are crazy. crazy. They are crazy. I shouldn't say it because we're all the same, but they are crazy. And as we've seen in the last 3 years, the extreme left has absolutely no respect for the will of the American people. They are determined to stop our movement and impose their agenda by any means necessary. It makes no difference to them. The one thing about the radical Democrats that is something that you have to admire, they stick together. The Republicans don't. And I love the Republicans. They have horrible policies, the Democrats. They're for sanctuary cities, the Democrats. They're against strong, powerful, beautiful. I love our law enforcement. They believe in open borders where anybody can come into our country. Anybody. You have to see. And we've done a great job. No support, only opposition. We have 27,000 Mexican soldiers on our border, and the numbers are dropped like off the table. And I want to thank the president of Mexico and Mexico for doing an incredible job. But the Democrats have one thing. They stick together. They're like glue. And it's been that way for a long time, not just now. For whatever it is, it's been that way for a long time. And it's the one trait that I do respect and even admire. They stick together. They don't have people coming out against the president. And, you know, I'm at 94% approval rating. But still, you have people out there. They don't get it. They don't get it. So we love the Republicans. We love what we're doing. We love our programs. In many cases, we're better politicians than them. We have much better policies. We want strong borders. We want powerful education. We want freedom of speech. We want a strong military. We want a powerful Second Amendment, which they don't want. Right? Dana? They don't want, I wouldn't say they're too much into the Second Amendment, the world of the Second Amendment. I will tell you, if certain of these people, I would say almost anyone, or your Second Amendment is in serious, serious trouble. Serious trouble. Socialism is obsessed with the pursuit of power because it has replaced religion within government and in their eyes. It has absolutely replaced religion. When you look at some of the things that they're in favor of, it's like anything, nobody's ever seen anything like it. The new green, or green new, you could say it either way, by the way, it doesn't matter, same thing. Doesn't matter. Somebody said, which comes first? I said, doesn't make any difference. They're both crazy. No cows, no planes, no people, no energy, no oil, no gas, no nothing.
This is Tony Perkins, and you're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. You're listening to President Donald Trump as he spoke to the values voters this past Saturday night here in Washington, D.C. More of his message.
We live in a time of great political division, and this division only intensifies during campaign season. The toxic tone in politics can be discouraging, which makes it a very real temptation for many Christians to wipe their hands of politics altogether. After all, if God is sovereign and controls the heart of the king, as Proverbs says, do we really need to get involved in the messy world of politics? Because political engagement can be divisive, shouldn't Christians abandon politics and direct their energies toward more spiritual pursuits? Christians are called to submit every area of their life to God, which includes how they engage in politics. But they are called to engage biblically. This requires Christians to be prepared to follow their political theology to its logical end and vote for candidates and parties that support clear biblical values. For more information on the Christians' call to engage in politics, visit frc.org/engage. That's frc.org/engage.
News. We can get it from many sources, but what can you trust these days? Where can you get news that doesn't make you as suspicious as you are informed? If you're looking for something better, for honest coverage of the latest news, one trusted news source I look to is the Washington Times. When preparing for the radio program and selecting guests to join me on the show, I will often read the Washington Times and have their reporters join me here on the program because I trust how they cover the news. Join me and more than 7 million readers who turn to the Washington Times every month to get real, trusted news. For a limited time only, listeners of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins will receive a special annual rate of $69.95 for the first year. Subscribe to the Washington Times and get this special offer by using my name and visiting washingtontimes.com/Tony Perkins. That's washingtontimes.com/Tony Perkins.
Are you a student? Do you know a student? Well, this year, students can apply for scholarships to attend FRC Action's Values Voter Summit at no cost. At VVS, students will join thousands of like-minded conservatives who care about the issues that are shaping our nation. They'll enjoy our student mixer trivia night, topics covering everything from history to politics to the upcoming 2020 election. They'll hear from key conservatives, including Ali Stuckey, Congressman Mark Meadows, Dana Lash, and more. They'll have the opportunity to pursue influential jobs and internships with reputable organizations at our job fair meet and greet. Students will also have the chance to learn how to impact our world by attending our student breakout sessions. From October 11th to 13th, come to Washington, D.C. for Values Voter Summit. This is one weekend no student should miss. Learn more about scholarships by visiting valuesvotersummit.org/students or by calling 1-877-372-2808.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, a special edition of Washington Watch today. This is a message from President Donald Trump that he delivered this past Saturday night at the Values Voters Summit at the gala honoring Dr. Andrew Brunson with our Cost of Discipleship Award. We'll continue now with what President Trump had to say Saturday night.
This evening, we reaffirm true foundations of American society. We believe that every American has the right to live by the dictates of their conscience and the teachings of their faith. We believe in the right to free exercise of religion. Thank you. Thank you very much. We believe in the right to free speech. We believe in the right to life. Thank you. We know that families and churches, not government officials, know best how to create strong and loving communities. It's been that way in our country. And above all else, we know this. In America, we don't worship government, we worship God. Thank you. You were there from the first minute of my presidency. I have taken historic action to defend religious liberty. Tony knows that very well. Tony wasn't so really sure, I would say, at the beginning. He was saying, what do you think? I don't know him very well. But I think you're very happy now, Tony, right? Something I'm very proud of, I stopped the Johnson Amendment from interfering with pastors' rights to speak their mind. You can do whatever you want. You're the people we want to hear from. We want to hear from you. We are protecting the conscience, rights, and think of this, those rights of doctors and nurses and teachers and groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor. Incredible people. And we're preserving our country's vital tradition of faith-based adoption. As you know, just a few days ago, a Democrat running for president proposed revoking the tax-exempt status of many churches and religious groups. And you know why, and you know who it is. He's a wacko. I will never allow the federal government to be used to target, harass, or punish communities of faith, and I will never allow the IRS to be used as a political weapon, as it has been and currently is. It is currently being used, but has been used so viciously, so violently against many people in this room. Virtually every top Democrat lawmaker also now supports taxpayer-funded abortion right up to the moment of birth. But it's really now even worse than that. The governor of Virginia, do you remember? He was on a show, and he talked. People said, what did he say? What was that? He said, the baby is born. And then we have a conversation with the mother as to whether or not what he meant, as to whether or not we execute the baby, because now it's an execution. And that was a very big moment. And they don't do anything about it. There was an unbelievable moment for the people in this room. For the people on the radical left, they didn't understand what was wrong with what he said. That's where we've come. But we're going now in a different direction. Remember the debate with Crooked Hillary, where I said she wants to rip the babies out of the womb in the ninth month? And everybody said, wow, that's the first time they heard that statement. And you're just lucky that we won, because we won. I didn't win. We won. This would be a much different country. And by the way, it's like a plant. You seed the plant, you put the plant in, but those roots have to gain. That's why we need the next 4 years. We have to have those roots, they have to grab on. That's why we need it. We've done so much. There's been no administration that's done what we've done in the first 2.5 years. Now it's almost 3 years. If you look at everything we've done with taxes and regulations and right to try and all of the different things that we've done, the vets, the military, we've rebuilt our military. We had a general come to my office, respected general, and we were having a big trouble with one country. First week in office, very early, he said, sir, we have no ammunition. I said, you know what? We're going to have ammunition, a lot of it. And hopefully we'll never have to use it, but we're going to have a lot of it. But I also said, I never want to have another president of the United States hear those words from a general.
You've been listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. That is President Donald Trump speaking this past Saturday night to the Values Voters at the Values Voter Summit, the gala honoring Dr. Andrew Brunson. We'll continue with this message from the president when we return.
radical abortion laws in New York, Illinois, and Vermont are challenging the sanctity of life. These laws have lifted the few existing restrictions on abortion in the name of family planning and mental health of pregnant mothers. Americans need to take a stand and defend the rights of the unborn. Family Research Council is sending Congress 90,000 baby hats as a reminder that babies should be welcomed with love and warmth, not potential danger. Supporters have already funded over 45,000 hats. We are over halfway there. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. When you take action, we'll send you an end birthday abortion certificate that will remind you to pray for born alive babies who are facing the danger of being killed outside the womb. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information. That's endbirthdayabortion.com.
Are you concerned with the state of our nation? Do you want to protect and promote religious freedom, the sanctity of life, free speech, and our children's educations? Today we see a growing threat against our values on the news, on our college campuses, in our elementary schools, at our public libraries, and in our courts. Every year in Washington, D.C., thousands of conservatives attend FRC Action's Values Voters Summit. From October 11th to the 13th, come to our nation's capital to mingle with and hear from key conservatives who are bringing real change to Washington, D.C. And learn how you can, too. FRC President Tony Perkins will be there, along with Ali Stuckey, Bill Bennett, Dana Lash, Oliver North, and U.S. House and Senate leaders. The 2020 elections are right around the corner, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. We provide free scholarships for students. Register online at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
Happy Columbus Day. I'm Tony Perkins, your host of Washington Watch. You're listening to a special edition as we're allowing you to hear what President Donald Trump had to say to values voters this past Saturday night at the gala honoring Dr. Andrew Brunson with our Cost of Discipleship Award. Here's more of what President Trump had to say.
In this administration, we believe that every child, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of God. During my first week in office, I reinstated the Mexico City policy to protect the lives of the unborn. We have issued a final rule to prohibit Title X taxpayer funding from subsidizing the abortion industry. We stopped federal funding of fetal tissue research. My administration has also made tremendous progress in fighting back against the left's effort to use the federal courts to impose their fringe ideology and crush the same religious liberty that we've been speaking of tonight. To defend our Constitution, we have confirmed more than 160 highly qualified judges to interpret the law as written, including two incredible new Supreme Court justices. You know, I've always heard that federal judges and justices, Supreme Court justices, most important decision a president can make. And I disagreed. I always said, you know, look, defense to me has got to always be number one. But I got it. I said, you know, it is. It's really incredible. And usually when a president comes to office, there's no, you have no vacancies. The previous president would have, boom, should be no vacancy. You know, whatever their ideology is. But I guess they thought that the crooked one was going to win or something. So I came in, and in the first couple of days, I said, by the way, you know, I had a couple of other things going too, including the fact that a few minutes after I was sworn in, the Washington Post wrote a story that the impeachment starts right now. But I had a lot of other things. But I said during the course of the first very early period, like a week, I said, by the way, how many federal judgeships do I have? They said, sir, you have 142. I said, what? You have 142, sir. I said, you got to be kidding. 142. You mean I have two? One? None? No, you have 142. And President Obama was not very good at getting it done. Because, you know, people held him up and everything else. But with time, you get them all done. You get them done. But he put a big rush on at the end when he saw that we were doing well in the polls and coming up and up. But it wasn't enough time. So we inherited 142 open federal judgeships, including Court of Appeals. First time in history. First time in history anything like that has ever happened. And then they say, oh, he was a great president. Oh, great. He was great. Great for who? He was great for us. And in that way, he was. There's never been a better president for the Republicans in what they consider the most important way, Tony. Gave us 142 judgeships on the first day in office. And you go back and check it out, you'll find that others left none, usually none, or one or two, but one, none, 142. And then we have extras that we got through attrition, through retirement, through death. And we will very shortly, in less than a couple of months, we'll have 182 federal judgeships, including appeals judges, Court of Appeals. 182, think of it. And, you know, we were getting killed with the court decisions. If you look at our first few months, I think I was 0 for 7, 0 for 8. Then we won one in a newspaper. I think it was the failing New York Times. What would they do without me? You know, the paper was dead until I came along. 2 months before I ran, I remember holding one up. It was like from a grocery store. You know, the things that you hand out, it was like this. It's all right. When we leave in 10 or 14 years, they'll fail. Yeah. I'm only kidding, by the way. You know, they'll take it for. I told you he wants to stay. Did you see the crazy comedian? I won't even give him the name, but you know. He said, he was interviewing a guest a couple of weeks ago. He said, you know, very liberal guest. He said, you know he's going to win, don't you? You know he's going to win. And the guest said, no, we're going to fight very hard. We have a chance. No, we're going to fight. No. He's going to win. And you know he's not leaving after that, don't you? He's going to stay. There's no way we're ever going to get him out of office. And I thought that he was, you know, kidding. And he was really believed it. So you know what? Let him believe it. I think it's great. Let him believe it. He's never leaving.
You've been listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. You've been listening to President Donald Trump speaking to Value Voters at this past weekend's Values Voter Summit. More of the president to come right after the break. Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C. I want to invite you to join Luana and myself, along with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, for FRC's Israel Tour, June the 2nd through June the 12th, 2020. Whether you're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, standing in the ruins of Capernaum, or journeying up to Jerusalem, Israel is unlike any other place on earth. You'll relive the final earthly days of Jesus as you pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You look upon Golgotha and stand in the Garden Tomb. The reality of his story will come alive in a transformative way. This one-of-a-kind tour will not only allow you to explore the land of the Bible and the roots of our Christian faith, you'll also hear firsthand from some of Israel's political, defense, and religious leaders. Join us June the 2nd through June the 12th for this life-changing experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman. For decades, the nation's leading abortion supplier has claimed to be the champion of women's rights, but nothing could be farther from the truth. Planned Parenthood has repeatedly violated the law and violated women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the devastating effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities, Planned Parenthood is an organization that not only promotes a culture of death, but makes it a reality. In a new brochure from FRC, you will find evidence that will challenge your assumptions about Planned Parenthood and equip you with the information you need to be a true champion for women and the lives of unborn children. To order this brochure and to download your free digital copy, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
It's almost that time of year. FRC Action's annual Values Voter Summit is just around the corner, but there is still time to register. Join thousands of like-minded conservatives who, just like you, care about the state of our nation and want to do their part in protecting and promoting religious freedom and the sanctity of life, free speech, and marriage and the family. From October 11th through the 13th, come to Washington, D.C. to attend FRC Action's Values Voter Summit and hear from key conservatives who are bringing real change to Washington. And learn how you can, too. FRC Action President Tony Perkins will be there, along with Ali Stuckey, Bill Bennett, Dana Lash, Oliver North, and Congressman Mark Meadows. The 2020 elections are fast approaching, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. Ask about our scholarship for students. Register online at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
Welcome back to this special edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. We're listening to President Trump as he spoke to the Values Voters at the Values Voter Summit this past Saturday night at the gala honoring Dr. Andrew Brunson. We'll continue with the president right now.
In recent years, the hard left has tried to muzzle Christian voices in their aggressive attack on free speech. Last year, Isabella Chow, a member of student government at the University of California, Berkeley, slightly liberal out there, abstained from a campus vote that violated her Christian faith. She was cruelly condemned by the student government and kicked out of nearly every single club of which she was a member at college. On the day that members of student government condemned her, they went after her like nobody would believe. She sent out this message: the Christian community is here to love and serve this campus. And Isabella is here somewhere tonight. Where is Isabella? Beautiful. We salute you. Thank you very much, Isabella. To safeguard the rights of students like Isabella, my administration has taken historic action to withhold taxpayer dollars. We're talking about billions of dollars, by the way, from schools that infringe on students' First Amendment freedoms and other people's First Amendment freedom. You notice they've been treating us much better lately. They're saying, you know, we better let this person speak. We get a lot of millions of dollars every year, these schools. And all of a sudden, they're letting them speak. But they still don't speak properly about us, so we don't like that. But it's really had a big impact. To support American families, we doubled the child tax credit and cut a record number of job-killing regulations. We've created over 6 million new jobs since the election. Nobody would have believed that. If I would have said that, Tony, the media back there, the wonderful people in the media, would have said, he's exaggerating. I would have never said 6, actually. And you really have to go by the day after the election. Because, you know, when you look the day after the election, there was euphoria. And the market went up tremendously before signing. And Obama gets credit. The market was crashing. The market would have gone down the tubes. So I said, why did he get all of that upside? They only did the upside for 2.5 months or whatever it was. Between, let's say, November 9th and January 20th, they only did the upside because we got elected. With one clear voice, the United States of America condemns the persecution of Christians. And we pledge our support to Christian communities everywhere suffering under the brutal heel of oppression and violence. Our hearts and our souls are joined with these brave believers in their religious struggle. And, Pastor, it's great to have you back here. I've made clear to Turkey that if they do not meet their commitments, including the protection of religious minorities and also watching over the ISIS prisoners that we captured, we will impose a very swift, strong, and severe economic sanctions, like I did with respect to my negotiations to get Pastor Brunson out. Any military engagement where we send young men and women to fight and die must have clear objectives, vital national interests, and a realistic plan for how the conflict will end. We don't want to be in 19-year wars where we serve as a policing agent for the whole country. We will continue our fight against the vile menace of radical Islamic terrorism. A lot of people don't want me to use that term. President, don't use that term. I said, but it's the truth. I don't want to use that term, but it's the truth. And we will never tire or waver in our defense of religious liberty. A few weeks ago, I was honored to be the first president to host a meeting at the United Nations to call upon all nations to end religious persecution. Can you imagine? The first president. First president that did that, and can you imagine that? You would have thought that would be done every year for 40 years, wouldn't you? That first president. And I read that, and it became a big story. And I said, can you believe that's the first president that said we want to put an end to religious persecution? How can that be the first president? It's been there a long time, but that's the way it is. Earlier this year, I appointed a special envoy to monitor and combat the poison of anti-Semitism. Unfortunately, the Democrat Party has invited anti-Semitism into its own ranks. Look at Omar. Look at her. Have you seen what she says? Not only about our country, but look at what she says about Israel. And they're always making excuses. Well, she didn't mean it. She didn't mean it. Oh, she meant it. She meant it much more so than even her words. My administration is confronting this scourge. And we're standing with our close friends and partner, the State of Israel. And as you know very well, I recognize the eternal capital of Israel and opened the American Embassy in Jerusalem. Thank you. And we did it for the right price, right, Tony? We got the building open. And it's an interesting story. Some of you have heard it. We have a great ambassador, David Friedman, but a great lawyer, one of the top lawyers in New York, made a lot of money, and he wanted to be the ambassador. But he wanted it. Everybody wanted it. And every president's promised that for years and years, and they promise it. We're going to recognize the capital of Israel. We're going to move the embassy to Jerusalem. But they didn't do it. I understand why, because once I got into office, you have no idea the pressure that was put on. Now, that was called a quid pro quo. That was a quid pro quo. The pressure that was put on me by so many other countries calling, please don't do it, please don't do it. The last 2 weeks, I didn't take anybody's phone call. I got calls from kings, you can imagine. I got calls from everybody.
not to do it. Please don't do it. So what I did is I said, you know what I'll do? I won't take their call. I'll call them back in a couple of weeks. I said, do me a favor. Tell the prime minister that I'll call him back in 2 weeks. I'm busy. He said, 2 weeks? That's a long time. Tell the king I'll call him back in a few days. So anyway, so I did it. And then I made all those phone calls. Had a lot of publicity. We did it. It was a big story. Nothing happened. Remember, the world was going to come to an end, right? Nothing happened. I kept saying, are we okay? Yeah. Is there a protest? No. 3-4 days go by. I said, what's going on? This is strange. But then I started making the calls. I say, King, what do you want? What's up, King? And he goes, I wanted to call you to tell you we would be very much opposed. I said, oh, I wish I spoke to you sooner. Sorry. And everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. Then we had to decide on a building, and they came in, one of the generals. Sir, would you please sign this order? I said, what's it for? We're going to build, start the process. Would take 30 years, by the way, of building the embassy, the actual embassy. How much is it? $1 billion, sir. I said, wait a minute, this is a one-story building. That's what I do. How do you spend the billion? Sir, we're going to purchase land, and then we're going to get approvals. And we're going to, I said, how old are we going to be by the time this thing finishes, sir? I don't know, sir, but it's $1 billion. I had the name Donald signed, Donald. Then I said, what is this? And they said, I said, cross it out. I called David Freeman. I said, David, go check Jerusalem. Do we own any land? He said, let me check it out. He calls me back. He goes, sir, we do. We own a much better piece than the piece they want to buy. Much better. It's bigger. It's safer. It's a much better location, better views. And you know what? We have a building on it. And he says, sir, I think we can renovate that building for $200,000. True story. And it's the only time in my whole life that, you know, usually I'd say, make it 100. I said, David, it's too cheap. It doesn't sound like enough. I said, make it 500,000 or less. And we did. And we took this building, which was a very good building, setback, had all the things that you need. They like setback for safety. Big site, beautiful site. And I said, do me another favor. Use Jerusalem stone. Because a friend of mine in New York has, he's so proud, he uses Jerusalem stone in his office. He's a very rich guy, Ron Barron. He's got a wall of Jerusalem stone. Every time I come in, he goes, oh, this is Jerusalem stone. I said, Ron, you've told me that 100 times. He said, you have no idea how expensive it is. I said, listen, you're in Jerusalem. Can you get Jerusalem stone? He says, yeah, I can buy it real cheap. Comes from Jerusalem. I said, use Jerusalem stone. So they used Jerusalem stone. And we built it for less than $500,000. We opened it in 4 months. That's better than the Walman Rink story. You want to really know the truth. That's better. So instead of $1.5 billion, don't forget, the billion was going to be $2 billion and $3 billion. I could tell you stories. But anyway, so we not only did we get and do what we said I was going to do, but I got the building built, and it's been open for 1.5 years. And it's a beautiful, beautiful embassy. And maybe someday they'll build whatever they want to build, and they'll have a good time, and they'll waste a lot of money. But we've got a beautiful building now that works beautifully. And it opened up a few months. So it's not just a designation. And we did another thing. We recognized, after 52 years of negotiation, I recognized the Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. That was a big deal. They'd have meetings and meetings, and people would fly in. I withdrew the United States from the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. And Iran is a much different country. They are misbehaving, but they got to be very careful when they misbehave. And here in the Western Hemisphere, we're standing against the horrors of communism and socialism. That's what we're fighting right here. And supporting the people of Cuba and Nicaragua and Venezuela in their noble quest for freedom. It'll all happen. And tonight I declare once again, America will never be a socialist country. Never. Never, never. Never be. Our nation was not built by bureaucrats and regulators. America was built by families and pilgrims and pioneers. Our destiny is not written by people that come from areas of the world that know nothing about what we want to do. It's all written in our hearts. It's really written in our hearts. Our future will not be decided by the media, the bureaucrats, and the politicians. It will be decided by all of you. That's why we have elections. That's why we have elections. In every generation, the faith of our people has spurred our nation to overcome every challenge to our values and to our way of life. It has inspired us to face down the worst evils, unlock the greatest mysteries, and achieve what no one thought was ever possible. Now powered by those same historic values that have always defined our nation, we will reach new heights, make new breakthroughs, and we will strengthen the bonds of love and loyalty that unite us all as citizens, as neighbors, as patriots, as Christians, as people of faith, as one people, one nation, and one United States of America. We will stand as a light of liberty, a land of courage, and a home for proud people of faith. Forever and always, Americans will believe in the cause of freedom, the power of prayer, and the eternal glory of God. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. You've been listening to President Donald Trump as he spoke this past Saturday night at the gala at the Values Voters Summit honoring Dr. Andrew Brunson with the Cost of Discipleship Award. A great night. And, of course, it was a superb finish to a wonderful weekend. A lot of information shared this weekend, a lot of encouraging information, a lot of challenging information. And if you missed it, you can still listen. We've made it available online. You can go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over to the ValuesVotersSummit.org. But all of the speakers are archived right there on the website. So if you missed it, you can still participate. Exciting, informative, encouraging. It's a shame you missed it. In fact, I would make plans right now to join us again next year. But until then, go to the website and you can download or listen to the messages from this past weekend. Well, thanks so much for joining us today on this special edition of Washington Watch. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.